Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. B. Mitch and Finley. This is B. Mitch here. And JP is over at the facilities of the Washington football team. We give him a hard time, but you know what? He's over there several times a week, and he gets a lot of access, unbelievable access. He had a chance to sit down and talk with Jamin Davis, the rookie linebacker from Kentucky. Let's take a listen.
Jamin, let's start here. How are you feeling as a rookie in the NFL about 2 months into the regular season now?
Now I feel way more comfortable, of course. It's starting to just pick up for me, everything, play speed, just getting more comfortable out there and being able to just play my game at this point in time. So I feel way better than I did coming at first.
I bet. What are those first couple games like when everything is just moving way faster than you probably ever seen?
It's pretty crazy. Just trying to learn everything and get a feel for the game speed, getting a feel for the type of routes you'll see in different run fits and whatnot. And it was pretty crazy just learning everything. And I'm like just living in the moment, just like, wow, like I'm really here now. Now it's time to show the world who I am. But now that I got a feel for it, it's just like now I can just go out and play my game. You know what I mean?
You played SEC football. I mean, that's as high as it gets in college. How much more accelerated? Like help people that don't play football understand how much harder it gets.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you would have to experience it for me to really understand. There's no way to truly just explain it to someone. It's more so like you can be a guy that runs 4-3 or whatever, but if you don't know where you're supposed to be on the field, it doesn't matter. So it's like, when it comes to everything game speed wise, you want to be exact, you want to be crisp with everything you do, and it goes hand in hand because I'm a guy that likes to be like perfect with everything I'm doing. So, but I mean, you got to take that out at some point too, because you just got to fly around and make plays.
You're a big NASCAR fan.
Definitely.
So if the NFL is being played at NASCAR speeds, I mean, those cars are going what, 180, 200, something
plus,
like that?
Plus, right.
What is the speed difference from college? And How big was that jump for you?
It's almost like when you speak in NASCAR, it's almost like going from Xfinity to the Cup Series, speed-wise. And it's like you got to get with the program or get going, honestly. And you get out there and you can't really do too much thinking. You just got to know where you're supposed to be and just fly to the ball and make a play.
And so to that point, early on this season, you weren't playing that much.
Right.
How did you handle that as a guy who's been a stud backer your whole life?
Right. I mean, I've been in that predicament before. It didn't really affect me. I've always been a guy that's ready to step up when my number's called, no matter what the situation is. And the main thing when it came to that was you can't really get discouraged, especially knowing that I'm a new guy, I'm a rookie. And I mean, no matter what the situation is, you step up and you show out when your number's called, honestly.
Coach Rivera, Coach Del Rio, did any of the coaches kind of talk to you maybe the first month of the season, like, don't worry, there's a plan, we're bringing you along?
It wasn't necessarily a plan. I mean, it's every now and then you do want to step to the side and talk to Del Rio, talk to Coach Russ, and just knowing, like, you don't have to do so much extra thinking. I feel like that helped a lot more, just knowing, like, you're going to make mistakes, especially in this league, but you can minimize those mistakes by playing fast. So, like, now it's to the point where I'm just really just cutting it loose and just playing my game and just getting a feel for it a lot more, to the point where I'm playing Jamin Davis football, so...
So cut to Green Bay in week 7, a tough loss for you guys, but I think defensively maybe the best team performance we've seen so far this year. You were on the field a ton. I believe you played almost every snap. How did you feel about that performance as a group and yours specifically?
I mean, I didn't really pay too much attention to my specific individual performance, but as a group, I can tell definitely that the chemistry was starting to build a lot more than it has before. And just getting comfortable, just being out there, and it all started with the week of practice that we had. Everybody was trying to fly around, getting all 11 hats to the ball, and just going out there and just not really worrying about what everybody with the outside noise is saying about us and what they expect from us and whatever. Like, just knowing that at the end of the day, the guy beside you is who got your back at the end of the day. And it was just one of those things that going into that game, no matter the result, we came out just knowing that we played together. So going forward, that's what we're going to build off of.
I get blocking out the noise and all of that. It's the only way you guys can function, right? Like, there's so much of that, and then there's 11 guys on a field. But some of the expectations for this defense were because of the performance last year. You weren't here last year, but the thought was, man, they were really good last year. You add a stud linebacker there that can cover sideline to sideline, you're really building something. Early performances were tough. You also played some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. How encouraged are you by the performance against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers going forward?
Very, very. It's definitely a confidence builder going forward, especially like having the momentum that we had coming out of the game. Just going forward and just knowing how it's supposed to look and knowing where we're supposed to be and just being exact with everything that we try to do, and at the most, just flying around and making plays. That's all it really boils down to, and especially when you got a group of guys around you that will be where they're supposed to be and won't let you down, it's definitely encouraging.
Were there any – for me, I've been there a few times, but Lambeau Field, I always just stop for a second and kind of look around.
Yeah.
Did you have any of those moments?
Yeah, definitely. When I came out for warm-ups, it was like, wow, like, because that was my first time going inside of Lambeau Field. And I did, when I got over to warm-up and whatnot, I just stopped and just looked around like, man, like, I'm really finna play here. It's pretty cool. But at the end of the day, you snap back into it pretty quick knowing that it's time to play some ball. So
I bet. What do you feel like is going better for you, run coverage, pass coverage, kind of figuring out your speeds?
Now play recognition is starting to click a lot more for me, just getting a feel for everything, now realizing that we pretty much play in a copycat league. A lot of different teams like to run the same exact plays. They might run it differently, but they're running the same play at the end of the day. So that's one of the things that actually Cole helped me pick up on, that Cole Holcomb, just watching film. That's just one of the things that just started to click for me. And going forward, now it's more so like I can put my own twist to the game, just knowing like, okay, this is happening, so let's go, let's react, let's you know what I mean, just be where I'm supposed to be.
They're trying to distract you offensively, right? They want you to think the ball's going elsewhere.
Right.
How hard is it to kind of realize that and know that the counteraction isn't the actual action?
Right. I mean, it all boils down to knowing what your job is, knowing where you're supposed to be. That's all it really boils down to. And, of course, you're going to have a bunch of different teams that like to do a lot of eye candy, a bunch of different jet motions and stuff like that. But as long as you know your responsibility and where you're supposed to be and get there as fast as you possibly can, then all that extra stuff doesn't really matter.
Going to Denver. You ever played out there?
No. First time.
Have you ever played out west, period?
First time. Very first time.
Have you ever played west of the Mississippi?
No. This is my very first time.
That's crazy.
Crazy. I know.
You worried about the altitude? Have they said anything about that stuff?
Nah, not really. I mean, the main thing is making sure I got some screw-in cleats so I'm not out there slipping around like last week.
But that would help.
Yeah, other than that, I'm just going to prepare for this game like I would prepare for any other.
Do you look ahead to the bye week at all? You got any plans?
Nah.
Just lay low?
My main focus is just trying to get through these games and just win as much as possible because, I mean, regardless of how the season is going, I just want to go out and just do what I'm supposed to do, so.
Sunday is Halloween. I'm guessing that's not even on your radar,
nah.
But Sunday is Halloween. Any really fun memories of Halloween growing up or college, any of it?
Not really. I mean, I was brought up in a church household, so I mean, I wasn't really a big trick-or-treat guy or dress up on Halloween, so I mean, I don't really have really a lot of different memories from
it. You never even got to dress up as like a football player?
Every now and then, but I mean, I was more so a guy that was just going and just being around the church family and whatnot. So, I mean, that's always pretty much been me.
Gotcha. Well, Jamin, thank you very much for the time. Personally, I'd like to see you on the field. I feel
yes,
like
sir.
The learning is going to come much faster out there than right. It is in the film room.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate
going forward, I'll just do what I got to do to make some plays.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Sir.
Thank you, man.
All right, Jamin Davis talking to J.P. Finley. A lot of good stuff there. And some of the things, I was sitting here writing down notes about him, and I was happy to hear him talk about the difference in the speed of college football and the speed of the pro game. I think a lot of people who sit out there at home and fans, you automatically assume that a guy is going to do exactly what he did in college. But he quickly found out that, you know what? It's like you building the go-kart, and you got the fastest go-kart in your neighborhood. Then you get to the NFL, which is basically now your go-kart can now race with these street cars. He's finding that out. But you know what? You have the ability to get there. You just got to utilize what you have, what's special about you, build it to a point where he talked about you. You want to get to the point where you just react. You're not thinking about things. And I think that's the ultimate goal when it comes from college to the pros. Because in college, as I stated many a times, you never have 11 pro athletes on the field on each side of the ball at a time. As good as some of these colleges are, some of those guys will never, ever play a down of college football, never get the opportunity to do it. But when you get to the next level, you have all pro athletes. The speed is faster. They make less mistakes. And you have to be damn near perfect for things to happen sometimes. He talked about film study, which is a thing he said Cole Holcomb helped him out. And I think that's something that I have to credit Ernest Byner for helping me. And the thing about film study is not about, like, you hear a lot of media people today claim that they watch film. You have a lot of fans call in saying that they watch film. You know what they do? They watch TV, okay? When you're watching film and you're not breaking it down to find out what's the defensive lineup, what's the down and distance, and you start to utilize what's going on from the down lineman all the way back out to the linebackers and then the running backs and things, then you're not really watching film. A one play when you're watching film can take minutes on top of minutes. And you may miss something and you got to come back at it. But the one thing that I think most players don't do, I don't care if they're in their first year, second year, third year, if you don't have the right person telling you about that, you have to watch film on yourself too. Just like when the other teams are watching it on you, you know, they're finding out what tendencies you give off. You need to know what tendencies you give off. And if you're doing something every time you're going to blitz or every time you're going to drop in coverage or if you're running back when you're going right, left, they're going to pick that up. So you have to watch what you do, and then you have to adjust your tendencies to make them think you're doing something else. Just like he said, when JP asked a question about an offense trying to make you think, trying to distract you by make you think one thing is happening when something else is going on, you have to be able to do that as a player too. And I think that's when players begin to take ownership in it, when they realize, damn, I've been giving off all these tendencies all this time. This is why the guy always caught me when I was blitzing. When you can figure out your tendencies, the things that you show all the time, then you can become a much better player because now you keep that away from him. And I think he said he's not worried about the altitude. To me, this is not like any other game. Playing in the altitude is not like playing here, playing in Denver. Yes, there's fans out there, but it's more than the fans. You know, you ever been somewhere and you just walk up the slightest hill and you start breathing hard and you go, damn, what's the hell? I'm out of shape. No, you're at higher altitude. It's different breathing. And if someone hasn't told him already about the breathing up there, drinking a lot of water and make sure you're super hydrated at this point, that's a problem. Because today is Thursday. The interview was done probably yesterday, okay? So when you look at that fact, you start doing that 2 weeks out when you're going to Denver. And it's not just about the screw-in cleats. It's about getting your breathing right, okay? If anybody got a hyperbaric chamber, you should have been in it throughout this week. If you got to drink some extra water, the pH-balanced water, to say that essential water you go to the store, drink that. Those things can truly help you out in this football game. And I hope to hell someone has told him something other than just getting screw-in cleats. Because if that is the only thing they told him, that is a disservice. That's where veteran players can help you out. Guys that have been out there and done it before. What's up, Jay?
What up, man? I just went down and watched some practice. Wanted to give you kind of the latest that I saw. You know, I think the two biggest question marks that they need are Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin. Both those guys look like they're ready to go. I kind of think it's going to become pretty standard, if it's not already, that at least
getting through this week to get to the bye next week, that those guys just don't practice on Wednesday to kind of manage the load on. For Gibson, he's dealing with the stress fracture in the shin, and for McLaurin, he's dealing with a tight hammy.
I just finished looking at something on TV, JP, and they were talking about, you know, how should the NFL protect their players in 2021? And you had Tim Legler, which I don't know why he was talking about it. And you had Bart Scott, and then we had my man Lewis Riddick. And Lewis basically went on a tangent of saying, what else are they going to do? You say they practicing less, they're at the facility less than they've ever been in the history of football. In the 90s, guys that were hurt, they played. Guys that were injured, no, they didn't play. But today we're finding out that guys that are have little nagging, little hurts, not injuries, little hurts, those guys are now sitting out for multiple days. He said that you have to practice football and play football to become good at football. And when we see, like you were telling me, they're practicing for an hour. They practice for an hour and 15 minutes. You know, when I see other teams still going like they used to go back in the day, 2 hours and things of that nature, I'm wondering, are they being prepared to play full-grown football? Are we being so cautious because the rules may have changed some? I still think this is a barbaric game. And the people that play this game understand that it's barbaric. You can't treat them like you would treat any other little person out there. They have to go through it to be able to do it. Kind of rhyme, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I think it's also interesting now that the money's gotten so significant for a lot of players that you got to wonder if some guys, once you get a second contract and you get paid and you're dealing with a nagging soft tissue thing or something like that, like, do you really want to push through?
But the money is relative. I mean, the time that you play, the money is relative. When guys were playing in the 90s and they were making money, that was big money for them. For that era, it was that. So those guys kept wanting to fight through. I will go to my grave thinking this way. The more choices you give people, the easier the choice they're going to take. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Back in the day, and even like today with kids, you know how many parents now that are just, oh, no, you could do this, you could do that, and the kids going to always take the easiest route out.
Yeah.
So take away some of them easy routes, and I guarantee they'll choose that other one, one of them that you think they should. Because the thing about when you're dealing with kids, just like when I deal with football players, I don't try to do it because of today. I try to teach my kids based off of what are going to be the things they need to overcome later on in life. And I think when you're looking at a football team, you want to prepare them not for to practice just today. It's when you're on a 15-play drive, whether offensively or defensively, late in the game. Do you have the energy or the drive to get through it? I'm going to push you hard enough so you can get through it. I don't know if we could necessarily say yes about a lot of that stuff. Because as much as I've seen with preseason, offseason, now during the season, and when I see a lot of times during the games, I see a lot of us bending over way more than the other teams. That's a sign to me.
I hear you. I don't think anybody could say you're wrong on anything. I will point this out. I think perhaps a little bit of good news is Brandon Sheriff's out there practicing a second straight day. He's obviously missed some time with the sprained knee. I think you could see Sheriff back out there. I am really curious to see if they can get their run game going against this Broncos defense. I mean, this Broncos defense in three of their last four games has given up more than 100 yards on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
In two of their last three games has given up 150 or more.
Yep.
I mean, that's a lot of running.
But the teams that they played against, that's their mindset.
Well,
Cleveland mindset. They don't run. They don't.
Totally.
They don't go away from the run.
And Cleveland had a backup quarterback out there. So
yeah.
They
will we be dedicated to the run if it's working? Or are we gonna want to go out there and make sure we got to get Taylor's numbers instead of just think about winning the damn game?
I think the Steelers are not a team that always commits to the run, and they don't really have the offensive line for it. You see Ben usually throwing 50 times a game, and the Steelers went for a .147 on the ground against Denver.
Yeah.
The Ravens, a team that does run the ball really well, especially with Lamar, they only got to 102. So it's an interesting situation, but Lamar's also throwing the ball really well this season. Here's what we got to do. We're going to bring in Ryan O'Halloran from the Denver Post to tell us exactly what we should expect from the Broncos this week. We're going to find out, is this defense, like the stats say, are they a legit top five squad, or did they dominate some bad teams and Washington has a chance this weekend? We'll get all the
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From Ryan O'Halloran next on B. Mitch and Finley. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, 12:30 Thursday. 3 days till Washington's going to be on the field against the Denver Broncos. 30 minutes until bleep you Thursday. You know you're mad about stuff. Get on the phone now because the phones are going to fill up. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Right now, though, let's go to Colorado and talk to Ryan O'Halloran. Ryan is a Broncos beat writer for the Denver Post. He covered the Washington football team once upon a time, covered the Jaguars. He's been covering the NFL since 2004. Ryan, what's going on, man? Thank you very much for joining us. How you been?
Hey, fellas. So it's good to join you. And this has been a bleep you month here in Denver for the Broncos. So,
do they look like they could come out of this bleep you month? Because we need to know that as Washington football team fans.
Yeah, what's the status of, like, Broncos fans right now?
Well, as I told somebody in the organization yesterday, I could tweet out a positive stat about the Broncos, and the first 10 replies are going to be fire everybody, bench the quarterback, get rid of Vaughn, et cetera, et cetera. So the apathy has set in after a 3-0 start, and it's not the four straight losses. It's just how they've lost, and, you know, this is it Sunday for the Broncos.
Ryan, in Washington, we look at this game as this a winnable game, and we can probably get right. How are the people in Denver looking at Washington coming in there where our record is worse than what Denver's is?
Yeah, same exact thing, Brian. This is the game. You get back to 500, you go to Dallas, you take your chance there, then you come back before the bye and play a horrible Philadelphia team here in Denver, go 5-5 into the bye with five division games left. So you know, I think that's their Bronco fans and I would say the locker room are looking at it the same way as Washington's folks are. Hey, this is time to end this losing streak, and the opponent is the ideal one to face.
So we're talking with Ryan O'Halloran here from the Denver Post. Let's talk about the Broncos specifically because the defensive numbers suggest they're a top five defense. But if you dig in a little bit, they had dominant defensive performances against two awful teams in the Jags and the Jets. And in their last three games, they're giving up almost 400 yards a game. Who's the real Denver?
Well, the cop-out answer is somewhere in between, but you're right. Is they took advantage of facing those young quarterbacks to build those stats. The collapse of this defense over the last four games has been stunning, and because they spent all offseason outside of Teddy Bridgewater, they did everything on defense from the first round pick, free agency, re-signing guys. They have one takeaway in the last four games. Bradley Chubb has played 19 snaps. He's out for another month, so they're not getting a ton of pass rush. And their secondary has been a little sketchy. So that's, to me, you know, offensively, they're not very good, but you didn't expect them to be very good because of the personnel. Defensively, you did think they could be elite. Their numbers suggest that, but they're way, way, a long way from being elite right now.
God, that sounds like Washington and Denver are looking at each other like the Spider-Man.
In the mirror.
Like they're looking in a mirror
yes.
with bad offenses and defenses that are supposed to be good that aren't. So if Chubb is out and Miller, I saw, was a 50-50 at best, I mean, give us a Von Miller status update. And that certainly means it's a possibility that Washington faces neither Bradley Chubb or Von Miller Sunday.
Yeah, and Chubb has been out for a month, and he's going to be on IR for at least another month. So,
wow.
You know, we weren't planning on having him. With Miller, you know, they practice here another 2 hours. If he gets out and runs around a little bit, maybe does the same thing tomorrow, I think they'll take it up to game time. You know, if he's out, then you're leaning on Malik Reed, who's the other starter with Chubb out. You're leaning on Jonathan Cooper, who was their best defensive player, a rookie six-round pick the other night against Cleveland. And then Stephen Weatherly, who they acquired in a trade over the weekend. So it's,
wow.
You know, they don't have a lot of depth. And, I mean, I suggest that they think outside the box and switch to a 4-3 front because that takes one linebacker off the field and allows them to maybe stop the run a little bit better. Of course, they'll never do that. That's outside the box. But they are in trouble at the edges if Vaughn can't play.
Mm. Wow, that is something interesting. And then offensively, I assume it's going to be Bridgewater, right, at quarterback. And
yeah.
Then I think you've got some good backs there with the rookie and Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon still can move the ball. I like Cortland Sutton. I think Jerry Judy's coming back. But, I mean, offensively, Denver hasn't been much of a threat for a while. The Washington defense has been bad. I mean, they're dead last in the NFL in points allowed. They've been giving up 30. Last week they held the Packers to 24, I guess. But do you think – for the Denver offense, they're looking at this Washington defense as a big opportunity.
Yeah, I think so, and they should. And yeah, I think the key is getting Judy back, and you know, not to put too much pressure on a kid who's been out 6 weeks with a high ankle. But they're basically saying, save our passing game, Jerry, and he's going to have to be really good right away. Take some pressure off Sutton and Tim Patrick. They're getting one of their tight ends back, Albert O. He is a better receiving tight end at this stage than I think Noah Fant, so maybe he adds a dimension. And, you know, what's confusing to me is you do have two running backs with Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. They're still sticking with the 50-50 split. I mean, let one of these guys sort of see if they can take hold and get into a rhythm and sort of be that featured back. But they're committed to, you know, first series for Melvin, second series for Javonte, and they go back and forth, which I don't agree with. But, With Teddy Bridgewater, the fact that he's lost four straight games and is still the starter tells you what their confidence is in Drew Lock.
Yeah, I'm sure, Ryan, in covering the NFL, you've seen coaches overthink things like that. Like you're saying, they're going with this, oh, you play the first series, then you play the second. What if a guy gets into a rhythm? You're going to just pull him out the damn game?
I totally agree, and you know, for the Broncos, they've had so much trouble getting a rhythm. Is it really hasn't come up a lot? But Javonte Williams jumps off the tape because he has some explosive runs where he runs through defenses. Melvin Gordon, I think at this stage, he's looking for home runs, and I think he's still pretty good on third down. He had a touchdown catch last week, but you traded up in this year's draft to the second round to get Javonte Williams, give him a shot. And I think he can help this run game, just the fact that he can break more tackles and be more explosive that way.
So, Ryan, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today specifically is let's close the door on this weekend's game, Denver-Washington. Do you think Denver wins this thing and kind of gets their season back together?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I mean, I'm picking the Broncos in a, you know, sort of a rock fight, you know, something like 17-13, somewhere around there.
I'm totally with you. I think a low-scoring, ugly game can really go either way, but I'm with you. I wanted to talk to you because you also covered the Washington football team for a number of years here in D.C. You were working for the Washington Times, and I think you worked at then CSN or whatever, right?
Ryan crossed paths.
Well, obviously, there's all this drama with the Washington football team for two decades of really gross, negligent ownership and business practices. I'm just curious what you remember from your time, if any of this stuff has been even slightly surprising. And remind me the years you were here, because I know it was a while.
Yeah, 04 to 11.
You saw some nothing, S.
Yeah, nothing about Bruce Allen should ever surprise anybody, let's put it that way. And, you know, Dan Snyder wasn't really around a lot because Joe Gibbs was the CEO during his second term there. But, I think this week it was not a good couple of days for Roger Goodell. He's had a lot of those weeks. And, you know, one thing I disagreed with from afar is when they, you know, when they announced the fine during the offseason, how Dan is going to step away from the day-to-day and concentrate on the stadium. Well, that's what he was doing in the first place. There was no penalty there for Dan.
None whatsoever.
So,
and the fine is a tax write-off.
Yeah. I mean, my thing was they made Jerry Richardson sell the team in Carolina. To me, that would be the only move to make. I don't think it's going to happen unless more stuff comes up. But I think it's, this is it, having worked there, it is a extremely loyal fan base that has been fed up for a while. And it starts with ownership. I mean, and you can't fire the owner. So I think they're going to be spinning their wheels until there is more clarity at the top of the depth chart, so to speak.
Brian, let me ask you this question. The NFL basically has gotten bad, in a sense, with Washington, with Dan. And this is different than what they did with Jerry Richardson. Is this a position where they, it's like, this is one of ours, we're not letting it go? Because Jerry Richardson, when all the stuff came up, boom, he was out. This thing here, they changed the rules to give him the money so he can get 100% of the team. Then they come with this, like, slap on the wrist with $10 million and say, you're fine, when he's at every game and he's still communicating with people on a regular basis. So what changed? Nothing really changed. And now they're hunkering down, saying we're not releasing any information, when now we have other owners saying we should have a written report and it should be out there.
Well, God bless Mark Davis, because you could have basically told him anything in terms of criticizing Roger Goodell and he would have gone there yesterday. but that was my thing, when the fact that there wasn't a written report, and they did written reports for Deflategate, Spygate, Ray Rice, Any other scandal over the last two decades in the NFL, and it feels like there's an annual one.
Right.
Yeah. And so, to me, it was a mishandling of it. And then Roger comes out and says, well, we want to protect the anonymous people. Well, there's a way of doing that very easily with still releasing the findings. Mm-hmm. I mean, give me a break. So
the NHL just did that with their look at everything going on with the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, they just did it. You can redact names. You can, even the emails, the fact that the emails that have been leaked all have redacted information and blacked out name lines and stuff suggests that whoever did that leaking knew
what the hell they were doing.
Or they would have just put the whole email out.
It wasn't where this person pushed a button and said, uh-oh, what did I do?
Right, exactly.
That was a plan.
It was a clear and present objective to get John Gruden out of his job.
Let me ask you this, Ryan, and this is a theory that Peter King has kind of pushed out, and it's worth saying that Tanya Snyder has now come out on the record and said that this is not true. But Peter King has said there's a number of people kind of inside NFL circles that believe Dan Snyder actually leaked those emails to try to go at Bruce Allen. Does that strike you as something in the realm of possibility?
I mean, I think it's worth considering. from Dan, like you look at it from 10,000 feet away, is what would be Snyder's motive to smear Bruce Allen, because he's already out of the picture. I mean, there's, you know, there's obviously some legal stuff going on, but it just, I mean, it would be fascinating if it ever comes out. And then here's the other thing: is like a week after the Gruden emails, then you have the Jeff Pasch Bruce Allen emails. Okay, who's going? Why is somebody going after Jeff Pasch, who is a league guy?
Hey, Ryan, I can give you many reasons why somebody should go after Jeff Pasch, but you know, that's another story.
Well, I guess my point, Brian, is
now I'm interested.
Well, from my point is okay. That to me, that, I mean, when it first happened with Gruden, I thought it was good. I thought it was the league.
Mm-hmm.
But then, okay, who's trying to get Jeff Pasch out? Who are the players who are trying to gain advantage by getting these guys fired? It hasn't worked with Pasch yet, but you know, the intrigue seems to grow a little bit each week.
Hey, Ryan, we really appreciate the time, man. Everybody give him a follow, at Ryan O'Halloran. Thanks, dude. We'll see you on Sunday.
Okay, fellas, take care now.
All right. Thank you. That is Ryan O'Halloran, beat writer for the Denver Post. When we return, let's pull this thread a little bit
more.
Wait,
before you go, I need to ask you a question real quick. Have you ever been to Nashville, Kentucky?
Yeah, let's also talk about that, because our boy Cody Betts just took a big old L. We're going to get into all of it. Don't forget, Bleep You Thursday.
You got to move Ryan out of that position and put Stallion out of the position. Cody going to be in the position.
Might be a new dum-dum in town. Bleep You Thursday, 1 o'clock, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Beamish and Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
Oh, man, Alabama.
Cody's out here embarrassing himself. So are the Washington football team. I wanted to read this. We're going to do a quick around the NFL segment here, and then at 1 o'clock is Bleep You Thursday. Get your phone calls in now, 800-636-1067. Whatever you're mad about, this is our time to get through it together. At 1:30, Peter Rosenberg will join us from New York City.
New York.
Right now. Listen, I think everybody kind of understands where things are at with the emails and the leaks and the investigation surrounding the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't help but notice this. Roger Goodell's trying like hell to get the NFL to move forward from the investigation into the workplace culture of the Washington football team, saying that there's not going to be a written report because they have to protect some of the victims, and that he believes Snyder has been held accountable with the fine and Snyder's supposed removal from day-to-day team business, however true that is. But according to Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated, Tanya Snyder, who is kind of the acting owner right now with Dan on his reported sabbatical, Tanya Snyder spoke to owners yesterday, and the story says that she apologized that the investigation has created so much negative attention and apologized to those affected by the investigation itself, like Mark Davis of the Vegas Raiders that had to fire John Gruden. She said the team wanted to move forward and went on the offensive. I'm going to read this verbatim now, and if anybody in Ashburn is listening, this is not my words. These are from Sports Illustrated. Snyder said she and her husband had been extorted by their limited partners. She'd also told the group that neither she nor her husband were responsible for leaking the emails that wound up leading to John Gruden's ouster in Las Vegas, and that her husband doesn't even have an email account. And while she showed regret that the matter wasn't handled internally, she never took responsibility for her or her husband's role in the workplace climate in Washington, other than to say that the team would get this right. A brief, awkward silence followed Snyder's monologue before Goodell moved the session along. Tone deaf is how one person in the room described Snyder's remarks. Two more owners agreed with that characterization when asked about Snyder's handling of a situation that has the NFL facing a congressional inquiry. The Washington football team declined to comment on Snyder's address to the owners. Woo, boy.
Okay,
Here's where you get trouble.
Let me go back.
Go ahead.
You said that they said it would be being extorted by their partners. None of the emails that were leaked had anything to do with those partners, though. So why was that even...
Not a one.
Why was that even discussed in this situation? See, I have been a big fan of when you start talking about things that are not being asked, you're clearly trying to just distract. I don't think anybody was asking about the limited partners. They were already passed. So you went on the offensive in doing what? Because the only thing that happened with the offensive, like if you went on the offensive and you go and talk about the things that transpired, only thing that happened was emails came out about people. That's the only thing that happened. But nothing came out about those partners. So why was that discussed?
I don't know, B. I don't know, and honestly, it creates more and more questions about where the emails came from, and here is perhaps the biggest problem for the Snyders, is by and large, the NFL ownership and commissioner approach everything with uniformity, or at least some level of agreement. Now, it's important to say Goodell is turning the page, they won't release the report. Jerry Jones came out and said he was very satisfied with how the team and league handled the investigation. Jerry Jones carries a lot of weight, man. He carries a lot of clout with the league.
He does that. He damn sure don't want stuff to come out about other people.
Yeah,
you wonder, come out about him.
Maybe even himself. Right. But you have Mark Davis, owner of the Raiders, publicly saying he thinks that the investigation should be released. Now, is that because this investigation ended up hurting the Raiders and took out John Gruden? Maybe. Or maybe Mark Davis is just a justice advocate. Who knows? But the Raiders franchise under his father and now under him have never been scared to push back against the league.
That's how this one got his team.
Right, but I'll say this, because it's easy to understand why Mark Davis is mad, right? Like, that's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Shad Khan owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. Shad Khan is probably one of the richest people in the world. He also owns soccer teams and stadiums in England. I mean, he's got a lot going on, Mr. Khan does. Khan called it unsatisfying how this investigation, that there was not a written investigation. Now, listen, that's not a strong condemnation. That's the wording unsatisfying doesn't sound like that big of a deal, but that is a super rich owner in the NFL saying, I'm not happy with how he handled this. So if you have two owners on the record saying they're not happy about this, what the hell do you think they're saying off the record? What do you think they're saying privately?
You know what they're saying?
What do you think John Mara is saying?
Well, this is what they're saying. Oh, so you looked at everything and we didn't get a chance to look at anything. Because when you go out and you say we're satisfied with what happened, these owners right now are telling you we didn't see a damn thing to be satisfied with. So if we're all in this together, at least we should know what transpires so we can make our mind up properly, or we'll know what the hell we're protecting. Because right now, they don't know what they're protecting. I think they all are worried about if this stuff gets to Congress and they start going in it, what if it's stuff I'm supporting that I really don't want to support?
Right. What if more of this comes out and now all of a sudden we're taking bullets for something that we should have acted a lot stronger on?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know this, and it appears no lawyer can really give a straight answer. I don't know that Congress can force them to turn all that stuff over, But if they start asking and they start refusing, how bad does that look?
Yeah.
Right?
And that's part of it. The optics is part of it. And Congress may not be able to force them to turn that stuff over, but they can force other issues.
And the argument for privacy and protection only goes so far when everyone with a pulse recognizes you can release things and redact information in a way that folks will feel comfortable. Here's what we got to do. It's Bleep You Thursday. When we return, get on the phones now. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.